Awesome. Well, as you know, this is Side Pocket at Radio Statler. We've been interviewing a lot of awesome people during the day, and for Friday we have our final interview. Last but not least is Dan, otherwise known as Alt F4. Thank you for coming down to Radio Statler. So,
thanks for having me.
Trolling people with Google, with Chromecast, mm-hmm. Google Chromecast. What drive you to do this?
So my friend Chris had bought a Chromecast back when the Chromecast first came out. Mm-hmm. So that was like one of the Gen 1 devices. Like yeah, the very like first shipment that was like super hard to get, right?
08, 09 or something?
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. He was telling me, he was like, hey man, this thing is super cool. It's like really cheap. I can stream Netflix on it. And it's like really easy to set up. And he was trying to like leading me through the setup process. Yeah. I was thinking, oh, there is no way that thing is secure. Like just kind of like listening to how he set it up, right? Yeah.
And nothing so in the shape of a thumb drive has to be secure.
No, so like I just bought one purely to hack it. So I spent like the next like couple months or so just trying to like hijack the thing.
Wow, awesome. How long did the process take you to crack this thing? Was there any like times where you got stuck? Was it fairly easy? How was the process on that?
Yeah, so the first few efforts totally failed. Mm. Like the I guess the first hurdle that I came up to was that there's not really a whole lot of information on the Chromecast to begin with, like at a really low level. Mm-hmm. Like there's an official SDK that's available, but those are like a really high level, like just about like finding a Chromecast.
Sounds like Google
video to
poor
it, right?
Documentation.
Like yeah, it's not as much poor document. Like the official SDK is very well documented.
Oh.
But just not what the SDK is doing under the hood, right? Like most everything is like web service calls, mm-hmm. And like SSDP, and you would never know that if you read the official documentation, right? You just know, call this Java function from a web from an Android app, and it just does magic. Mm. So kind of unmagicking that magic has been a lot of the engineering work that's gone behind the Rick Mode controller, the actual device I made for doing the Rickrolling on Chromecast.
And we're gonna get into that in a minute. Now, what made me really what made this fascinating was your breakthrough, which I love how you described it as the we need this at Hope, and I need one in real life every day. A forced vacation function. How does that work? Well, it can tell where you are at current points in time?
So the Chromecast has the functionality for mm-hmm. being able to be portable.
Right.
So it's one of its intended uses, because it's so small and handy, is for it to be able to be taken out on the road when you're out on vacation, plug it into your hotel's TV, mm-hmm. connect it out to a wireless network, and you can stream all of your internet videos like Netflix and YouTube mm-hmm. and things like that straight to your like hotel room. So the question then becomes like, well, how do you have to do the setup again, right?
Right.
And so the Chromecast has this security model where it has a one-time insecure setup network. Mm-hmm. So just one time only, you have to tell it like what network to connect to, what password to use, and then it'll configure on the basis of that. And it happens, it's supposed to happen only one time. However, when you're on vacation, it has to do that again. And so it knows when you're on vacation. The Chromecast knows when you're on vacation.
So it just assumes any router that is not, that you didn't set as your home router, as being on vacation.
Right. So yeah, the Chromecast, once you boot it up, it tries to find your home network, mm-hmm. right? It tries to find your home Wi-Fi. And if it can't find it, then it assumes that you're on vacation and throws up its one-time insecure setup network.
Right.
And as it happens, it's not just if it can't find it. It's also just if it has any kind of network connectivity errors whatsoever.
So it's that fickle.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it kind of has to be, though, right? Mm-hmm. Wi-Fi is the only way you can interface with the device. It doesn't have any hardware keyboards like attached to it. You can't USB to it. You can't do any of that, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's difficult to connect to it via wireless, then the thing becomes a brick. Like if you can't talk to it over Wi-Fi, then you can't talk to it.
You just have a TV.
Exactly. So it has a policy of failing open. So anytime mm-hmm. there's any kind of error, anytime there's some sort of an issue, a network connectivity issue, it says, like, whoop, there's some problem here. Like, let's open it all up.
Now, we could go into a lot of details on this, but you already covered it in this like amazing, fabulous talk. What I'm sort of interested in, I don't know if you have it on you right now, is this amazing little doohickey that you created to facilitate mm-hmm. this exploit. Describe more about it. Like, do you have
it
here to show?
Yeah, I do have it on me. That your radio listeners wouldn't be able to find it, so I won't fumble with
it. That's fine. What they can't see, I can guarantee in person, you can probably Google and find pictures,
right.
But it looks like the same people that make the multi-pass in Fifth Element. It's just this beauty. looking like do-it-yourself device, like what the original Blue Pox people were like cobbling together sort of thing. So tell me, what are the components that make up this device?
So I made what I was calling the Rickmote controller, which is the best pun I could come up with, which was a Raspberry Pi-based device that has a bunch of wireless cards on it and a slick 3D printed case. That has a touch screen on the top of it that just has a big picture of Rick Astley's face on it. And so you just press Rick Astley's face, and then it goes throughout the entire process of automating the attack,
right,
such that any Chromecast in the area will then get Rickrolled.
Have you ever, what would be the range of this device at max?
I haven't empirically tested it. I mean, it's typical Wi-Fi range, so whatever you get out of a pretty standard Wi-Fi NIC. Is going to be what you're going to get from that.
1690 max, maybe 120 feet.
Yeah, something like that, probably. Your mileage may vary, and depending on what kind of an area you're in. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're in an apartment complex or, say, New York City, then you're going to have tons of networks, right? Like, as opposed to, like, a rural area where you might have to drive a lot further, say, if you were, like, Rick driving.
It sounded like when Google was building its function for Chromecast, it was trying to be as standard as possible, even with the secure layer. So is it's just running on BG, or so it has, like, no unique channeling aspects whatsoever? It's literally accessing its, trying to access its servers and pulling information. Is that correct?
Yeah, so the in terms of channel, the Chromecast, all the ones that I've tried were always put to the same channel, put to channel 6, but that it might actually, come to think of it, be an automatic detection thing. It might have just detected
so
that
it might be dynamic.
Wherever I was doing it, that it saw that 6 was the least used, or it might always hard-code it to 6.
Right. Now, here's something interesting. Now, obviously, when you've mainly used YouTube, you can load up. So I have a two-part question you can answer in any order. One, have you tried making like your own custom stream to feed in raw video files? Is that possible with this setup? And well, actually, how about you just answer that?
So the current version of the attack of the Rickmote plays the Rickroll video from the actual YouTube, which then necessarily means that it has to have a full internet connection, which is kind of unfortunate, right? So you can like tether from your phone, or you can connect out to a regular Wi-Fi that has an internet connection, but sort of unfortunate. So yeah, one of the things that's on the horizon that I'm working on very hard to get working is a local streaming support.
Awesome.
So that it doesn't have to be online. Right. So you can just play video directly to...
Because right now you have to like tether it through your
that's
own
right,
service,
yeah.
which if anyone's smart enough, they might be able to go through yours. And I think you brought up talking with one fan that they could actually then hijack your stuff, and we have like a new version of Packet Wars that we normally do here at this conference. So I guess my last two quick questions are... now, obviously, it pulls video. Is there anything else it pulls from its own servers that we could have fun with in the future?
So the Chromecast primary function is to play video. There's not a whole lot of other interesting things that it does. There actually are applications that you can do to like play games on it. So there's like there's like a tic-tac-toe game, I think, that somebody made for like the Chromecast, which is kind of interesting.
It's like hotels in 96.
I know, right? But it's not clear how that could be used in terms of a prank.
But I think it pulls the image feeds, doesn't it, for the background?
That's right, yeah. Those are HTTPS gets, though. Mm-hmm. So in order to impersonate that would be difficult, maybe impossible. Maybe Google, the Chromecast, doesn't check the certificates.
Right. And just to clarify, this device, you're not trying to build an empire here with this device, although it'd be awesome to get paid. This is open source, anyone can go in and
that's right this. If you go on to github.com/bishopfox, which is the company I work for, you'll find the code responsible for the Chromecast, the Rickmote rather, and also a link to the Thingiverse page where you can get the 3D model for the cool slick
and the last question that I have here is that, you know, obviously I don't know about Google's reaction, but it seems to cause a lot of interesting chaos in the media. How's been the media handling it? Was it beyond your expectations? Have anyone been knocking down on your doors lately, or any complaints from people using this stuff yet?
Yeah, I was actually been totally blown away by the media reaction within like the last 48 hours. Like every major publication I can think of, from like Wired to Gizmodo to like Slash Gear to it's hard to keep the Guardian, like the Register, like all made posts about it, saying like how this is a devastating attack, or like, you know, it's been totally blown away by it. So I didn't know what to think about that. So I'm just sort of dealing with it at the moment.
Awesome. Well, you know, the media always can't avoid a good prank. And so thank you for showing up to Radio Settler. That was Alt 4. And we're now going to cut back to music, and very soon an awesome chiptune concert. So stay tuned on Radio Settler.
Thank you very much.